Mortimer closed his eyes and rested the fingertips of his right hand on the spot between his eyes. Then, in a hollow voice, he said, "The spirits tell me that two more guests will soon arrive." The audience laughed, and Mortimer nodded at them with an easy grin. He knew how to play a crowd. Larry gave Mortimer a tolerant smile. "And why are you here today?" "Larry, I just want to try to raise public awareness about the realm of the psychic and paranormal. Nearly 80% of a recent survey of American adults stated that they believed in the existence of the spirits of the dead, in ghosts. I just want to help people understand that they do exist, and that there are other people out there who have had strange and inexplicable encounters with them." "Thank you, Morty. And Harry, may I call you Harry?" "Sure, it's your nickel," I responded. Larry's smile got a shade brittle. "Can you tell us a little bit about what you do?" "I'm a wizard," I said. "I find lost articles, investigate paranormal occurrences, and train people who find themselves struggling with a sudden development of their own abilities." "Isn't it true that you also consult for the Special Investigations Department at Chicago PD?" "Occasionally," I said. I wanted to avoid talking about SI if I could. The last thing CPD would want was to be advertised on the Larry Fowler Show. Many police departments across the country employ such consultants when all other leads have failed. "And why are you here today?" "Because I'm broke and your producer is paying double my standard fee." The crowd laughed again, more warmly. Larry Fowler's eyes flashed with an impatient look behind his glasses, and his smile turned into a gnashing of teeth. "No, really, Harry, why?" "For the same reasons as Morty here, I answered, which was true. I'd come here to meet Mort and get some information from him. He'd come here to meet me because he'd refused to be seen near me on the street. I guess you could say I don't have the safest reputation in the world." "And you claim to be able to do magic," Larry said.
"Yeah."
"Could you show us?" Larry prompted.
"I could, Larry, but I don't think it's practical."
Larry nodded and gave the audience a wise look. "And why is that?"
"Because it would probably wreck your studio equipment."
"Of course," Larry said. He winked at the audience. "Well, we wouldn't want that, would we?" There was more laughter and a few catcalls from the crowd. Passages from Carrie and Firestarter sprang to mind, but I restrained myself and maintained the suppression spell. Master of self-discipline, that's me. But I gave the fire door beside the stage another longing look. Larry carried on the talk part of the talk show, discussing crystals and ESP and tarot cards. Mort did most of the talking. I chimed in with monosyllables from time to time. After several minutes of this, Larry said, "We'll be right back after these announcements." Stagehands held up signs that read applause, and cameras panned and zoomed over the audience as they whistled and hooted. Larry gave me an annoyed look and strode off stage. In the wings, he started tearing into a makeup girl about his hair. I leaned over to Mort and said, "Okay, what did you find out?" The dumpy ectomancer shook his head.
"Nothing concrete. I'm still getting back into the swing of things and contacting the dead."
"Even so, you've got more contacts in this area than I do," I said. "My sources don't keep close track of who has or hasn't died lately, so I'll take whatever I can get. Is she at least alive?"
He nodded. "She's alive. That much I know. She's in Peru."
"Peru?" It came as a vast relief to hear that she wasn't dead, but what the hell was Susan doing in Peru?
That's Red Court territory.
"Some," Mort agreed, "though most of them are in Brazil and the Yucatan. I tried to find out exactly where she was, but I was blocked."
"By who?"
Mort shrugged.
"No way for me to tell. I'm sorry."
I shook my head.
"No, it's okay. Thanks, Mort."
I settled back in my seat, mulling over the news. Susan Rodriguez was a reporter for a regional yellow paper called the Midwestern Arcane. She'd grown interested in me just after I opened up my practice, hounding me relentlessly to find out more about all the things that go bump in the night. We'd gotten involved, and on our first date, she wound up lying naked on the ground in a thunderstorm, while Lightning cooked a toad-like demon to gooey bits. After that, she parlayed a couple of encounters with things from my cases into a widespread syndicated column. A couple of years later, she wound up following me into a nest of vampires holding a big to-do, despite all of my warnings to the contrary. A noble of the Red Court of Vampires had grabbed her and begun the transformation from mortal to vampire on her. It was payback for something I'd done. The vampire noble in question thought that her standing in the Red Court made her untouchable, that I wouldn't want to start trouble with the entire court. She told me that if I fought to take Susan back, I would be starting a worldwide war between the White Council of Wizards and the vampire's Red Court. Which I did. The vampires hadn't forgiven me for taking Susan back from them, probably because a bunch of them, including one of their nobility, had been incinerated in the process. That's why Mort didn't want to be seen with me. He wasn't involved in the war, and he intended to keep it that way. In any case, Susan hadn't gone all the way through her transformation, but the vamps had given her their bloodthirst, and if she ever gave in to it, she'd become one of the Red Court. I asked her to marry me, promising her that I'd find a way to restore her humanity. She turned me down and left town, trying to sort things out on her own, I guess. I still kept trying to find a way to remove her affliction, but I'd received only a card and a postcard or three from her since she'd left. 2 weeks ago, her editor had called to say that the columns she usually sent in for the Arcane were late and asked if I knew how to get in touch with her. I hadn't, but I started looking. I got zip and went to Mort Lindquist to see if his contacts in the spirit world would pay off better than mine. I hadn't gotten much, but at least she was alive. Muscles in my back unclenched a little. I looked up to see Larry come back on stage to his theme music. Speakers squealed and squelched when he started to talk, and I realized I'd let my control slip again. The suppression spell was a hell of a lot harder than I thought it would be, and getting harder by the minute. I tried to focus, and the speakers quieted to the occasional fitful pop.